G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
realfaith.org.au.
We spent a few days at the hospital getting to know the leprosy hospital and everything, and BJ led a Bible study one night, and I was just, yep, I think that's the man I want to marry. So I think you could call it love at first sight.
Welcome to Real Faith. Conversations about the impact faith has on our lives and the challenges we go through, helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. That's real people, real life, and real faith with Eric Scatterbo.
Well, recently on the program, we spoke with retired dentist Graham McLennan, who has made a huge contribution to the Australian Christian community over the years, including helping start several Christian radio stations. Last time, we spoke to his son, Michael, who helped start a radio station on the island nation of Vanuatu after marrying Rita, who was born there. And today, we have another romantic story about a radio ministry that Graham McLennan helped to start, this time in Nepal. To tell us the story, our guest is Tabitha Pandy, who's joining us from Wellington in New South Wales, and she was once Graham's dental assistant in his practice. Tabitha Pandy, welcome to the program.
Hi, Eric. Great to be here.
Glad to have you with us. And so you know Graham McLennan. You've worked with him.
Yes, I've known Graham for many, many years now.
Okay, and so we're going to find out how eventually you go to Nepal to meet your future husband. But first, let's back up and find out a little bit about your background.
Yes, Eric. So I grew up in Orange. I was born in Bathurst and was raised between Bathurst and then Orange. So I met Graham on and off through school and church when I was living in Orange.
Actually, you have a connection to his son as well. Is that right?
I do, yes. Michael was actually one of my teachers when I was in high school.
Oh, wow.
So our paths have crossed many, many times before I was working for Graham. So, yeah, I grew up in a Christian family and we went to church in Orange. So I went to the Christian school in Orange.
Which he helped to start, if I understand it.
He did, yes. So I went to a school that Graham established, and Michael was my teacher, and now my children are going to a school also which Graham established.
Oh,
so,
wow. Oh, wow.
So he's been a big part of our lives.
Okay, well, let's go back to what caused you to take a trip to Nepal in the first place.
Yeah, so I went to a church in Orange called Orange Gospel Chapel, and one Sunday morning, the head of Leprosy Mission New South Wales came to speak to us, and through his talk, he just basically just let us know what the Leprosy Mission's doing around the world, and I was 17 at the time, and he came up to me after the service, and he said, "Oh, we have these fantastic trips. Fundraising trips, and you should think about it." And instantly I thought, no, thank you. This is not something that I am interested in. I'm 17 and not really my thing. So put it at the back of my mind. And I was actually working as a jeweler at the time. So about 6 months later, I was sitting in my office on my own just in the afternoon, and I had an overwhelming feeling that the Lord wanted me to go on one of these trips. I couldn't explain. I still can't. I don't have the words to explain the feeling at the time, Eric. It was just so overwhelming that I picked up the phone there and then and I rang Mum. I said, "Mum, I think I need to go on this trip." And I think my mum silently had a bit of a heart attack. But anyway, God bless her. She worked with me and she rang the Leprosy Mission, Ron Dawes, who was the head of the New South Wales branch, and he was on his way to Melbourne at the time. So Mum got transferred to the Melbourne office and was put on to someone called Graham Peck. And Graham just ran with that, let my mum know everything about this track for treatment it was. And by the end of the conversation, I think he had me signed up. So I was ready to go. So if I had gone with Ron, I would have been going to India. But as it turned out, Graham had me signed up and I ended up going to Nepal.
Okay, so they obviously are active in several different countries, but the one that you went to was going to Nepal.
That's correct. So they have a few of these trips that go. And the idea of the Trek for Treatment is just to send people to the hospitals and the community programs and get them a firsthand experience of what it's like. And then we come back and we raise money. So I initially thought I'd be going to India, ended up going to Nepal. So in March 2004, I went to Nepal with the leprosy mission.
Now, I understand it. You weren't the only member of your family to go. Is that right?
No. So after we got the brochures and had a look through it and Dad had a read and he felt that he should go on the trip as well. So he just thought it was a brilliant opportunity. And being 17 and, you know, wanting to spread my wings, I was a little bit insulted. But
why is that? You wanted to go by yourself?
I did want to go by myself. But the Lord actually was working through that as well, Eric, because he ended up coming with me. We had a wonderful time. It was a great father-daughter trip. And actually it worked out for the best, which I will tell you about later. But my father and I went with 32 other Australians. So, that was March 2004.
Okay, and I understand that there were some challenges along the way to Nepal. Is that right?
Yeah. So in the initial getting ready and everything went really smoothly and we were all excited. It was first time out of the country for me. Yeah. First time I'd ever been on a plane, actually. So So we actually left early in the morning from Melbourne Airport and we arrived at Bangkok Airport and had a heart episode, which was quite scary. And I spent the four-hour layover in Bangkok Medical Center.
What was happening?
Okay, so I had something called tachycardia. So my heart rate went from normal beating rate to 230 beats per minute, which was very scary because I was just sitting in a plane.
Had you ever had anything like this before?
I had one vague episode a year or so earlier. But never knew anything about it at the time.
Yeah, pretty scary.
It was very scary. Yeah. And my father and Graham Peck both suggested that I head back to Sydney, that I give the trip a miss. But I knew that the Lord wanted me on that trip. I didn't know why. It was just an overwhelming sense that I had to be there. So ended up back on the plane heading to Kathmandu. And that is where I met BJ.
BJ, and we should let our listeners know that he's sitting right next to you. Is that right?
He is.
That's right.
Welcome to the program, BJ Pandey.
Thank you very much, Eric, and thanks for having me.
Well, BJ, tell us your background before you met Tabitha.
I was born in the southern part of Nepal, closer to India, in a middle-class family. We have classes and castes in Nepal, if you don't know. And then I was part of a Brahmin family, which is a priesthood family. The parents and the bread owners usually are priests. But luckily, my dad had already been Christian by then, and he was a Christian priest, not a Hindu priest that time. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in a Christian family. I went to most of my schooling down south, closer to India. Then I moved to Kathmandu, where my dad got a job in working in National Churches Fellowship of Nepal, a big umbrella organizing for a lot of churches in Nepal. And then deep in my heart, I always wanted to do something medical. And my parents had planted a seed in my heart that you're good in your studies. Why don't you try and become a doctor? So I always had that in my mind. But later in my life, I realized that, that's the only thing I want to do. Mm-hmm. And when I didn't get admission in a couple of colleges that I applied for, I got really distraught. And I was thinking, what am I going to do with my life? But suddenly, God opened a door and I got my application accepted in one of the medical school in one of the cities in Nepal called Pokhara, and I did my medical training there. Going through medical school was pretty hard, not just study-wise, but financially it was very expensive to go through medical school. My parents had to sell part of the land to put me through medical school, and I didn't know when the next year's tuition fee was going to come. Miraculously provided through some person that Dad didn't even know. He came from overseas to help me because he saw a vision of Dad in his dream that he should come all the way from Hong Kong to come and help my dad for my education. So that was a miracle thing. And the second thing that was also very good for my education was there's a leprosy mission hospital in Nepal, the Leprosy Mission Australia, that helps to run part of the medical work in Nepal. And I got contacted by the leprosy hospital saying, we need doctors to work in our facility. If you are able to work for us after you graduate, then we will support you. We'll give you some scholarship. So I happily raised my hand. I was like, wow, what an opportunity. First of all, I get to work in a mission hospital, which is my dream.
Yeah.
Secondly, they're going to pay for part of my scholarship. So I said yes. Yeah. And then thankfully, I've completed the medical school without any huge debt. And I was contracted to work in leprosy hospital where I met Tabitha in 2004.
Today, our guests are Tabitha and Dr. PJ Pandey, who are sharing their story as a couple. We have heard their backgrounds and how Tabitha grew up in New South Wales and BJ grew up in Nepal. Next, we'll hear how they eventually meet and some of the challenges Tabitha faced when she took a short-term missions trip to Nepal. All that and more is coming up when we return, right here on Real Faith.
Looking for resources to grow your faith? Check out Vision Christian Store with books, movies, audio CDs, DVD resources and more. Plus, free delivery on orders over $50. See visionstore.org.au. You're listening to Real Faith, conversations with real people about how God works in their lives. If you want to know more about integrating faith into your life, our website is realfaith.org.au. Just go to the website and you'll find helpful articles about the impact faith can have on your life. Once again, that's realfaith.org.au.
Welcome back. I'm Eric Scatabo, and today our guests are Tabitha and Dr. BJ Pandey, who are sharing their story as a couple. Next, we'll hear how they eventually meet when Tabitha takes a short-term missions trip to Nepal. Also, we'll hear how a chance meeting at their wedding leads to a Christian radio station being started in Nepal. BJ, take us back to the first time you meet her. Why were you meeting her?
I'm meeting her in a training facility in one evening, and she looked at me and I looked at her and I think, oh, wow, this is a pretty girl. Tabitha says, even to this day, she makes a joke that every time she looks at my face, I used to shy away and then I'd pretend I'm not looking at her. So I was instantly attracted to her. But obviously, the supraventricular tachycardia that she had in Bangkok airport made the leprosy mission director and my boss a little bit concerned. And they actually sent me and one of my friend to be with the 32-odd Australian people on a trek to be their medical personnel in case of any emergencies.
If I'm understanding this correctly, the first time you see her, she's kind of your patient in a sense.
Not really. I didn't really treat her at all.
The first time that I got to Anandaban, they introduced me to you and another doctor straight away. So they said, you need to keep an eye on her. This is, you know, this is what's happened. So, yeah, so I...
Well, wait a second. They told BJ he needed to keep an eye on you, and it sounds like he was like, yeah, that's no problem.
I think you're right, Eric, now that it's
for ulterior motives.
I know. I'm jumping a gun a little bit because through the trek, she rolled her ankle a couple of times, and I did provide her some first aid care. So she was my patient. Sorry.
Oh, yes. Okay. You were there for her.
Yeah, I was there for her.
Just his shoulder.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, let's go back to you, Tabitha. What were you thinking? Was there some attraction there from the start?
Yes, there was, Eric. So I think we both had the same thought as soon as we met each other, to be honest.
Oh, wow.
And then we spent a few days at the hospital getting to know the leprosy hospital and everything. And BJ led a Bible study one night, and I was just, yeah, I think that's the man I want to marry.
Oh, wow.
So I think you could call it love at first sight.
Oh, that's beautiful. So as I understand it, as I've been told the story by Graham, people on the trip kind of knew there was something romantic going on between the two of you, but there was one person who was the last to know. Is that right?
Yes. So I think most people could see something happening, even though we were trying quite hard not to let that know. But the last person to know was my father, believe it or not.
That's what I was told, yes.
Yes, so there was, we had a chaplain with us and he was trekking with my dad through the Himalayas and he kind of elbowed my dad in the side and said, I think there might be a wedding here. And I think my dad was highly insulted before a light bulb came on. And then he was terrified the entire way home of how he was going to explain it to my mom. So.
Oh my goodness. Well, you're 17 years old. You're in a foreign country. There's all kinds of things he must have been thinking about. How is this going to work?
I think so. Yep. Yeah. So all those things didn't cross my mind, but it definitely, I think my father had a very long 8-hour flight home.
Yes. Okay. So that's the beginning of the two of you meeting. Did you correspond there for a while after the trip?
Yeah. So before we had left Nepal, BJ had already made plans to come to Australia about six months later. So for the next 2 years, we kind of did the long distance internet dating as often as possible. It was hard because BJ was outside of the city with very little internet access, so correspondence was few and far between. But so whenever we could, we'd either get a message to each other or snail mail or things like that. And then I think we went about every 6 months, one of us would go and visit the other. So a long-distance romance is all we've known, really, for the first 2 years.
You had to work hard just to be in the same country together.
Yeah, it was, actually.
Yeah. Applying for visa to come to Australia was a tricky thing, too, at that time. And Tabitha, coming to Nepal and adjusting in Nepali culture and living with my parents and learning how to eat Nepali food was also another challenge for us. She used to add tomato sauce in all the Nepali food because she couldn't stomach the coriander, but now she loves coriander.
That's good. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we're limited in the time. I could talk to you guys forever about how the relationship developed, but let's fast forward to 2006. The two of you were married in New South Wales?
We were, yes. So BJ got a prospective marriage visa. So it meant that when he entered Australia, we had to be married within the 9 months. So BJ came out in July 2006 and we were married in November. So I was working for Graham then and as doing my nursing, came back from Nepal and did my nursing degree. And I got married the day after I finished my first year of nursing degree. So.
And so you invited Graham to the wedding?
We did. So yes, Graham actually became quite close after we came back from Nepal and I worked with him and we invited Graham and Pam to our wedding.
And I understand that that was the beginning of a relationship because Graham McLennan met BJ's father. Tell us about what happened.
Yeah, they just clicked together and then they started talking about the common passion that they had about spreading the good news of the Lord all across the land and Graham being a pioneer in starting so many radio ministry, and that was something that was in my dad's heart too. So in Nepal, it was very close for gospel for many years for those people who don't know Nepal. It was incredibly hard to use any media to spread the word of God. Previously, radio studio from India and other countries used to broadcast Nepali message across the border, but we wanted to have a radio FM station, radio station in Nepal itself. And that just, the idea just matched very well. And at that time, there was a prospect of buying some time because the country was getting open to Christian media. The country, which was quite close to Christianity before, it was getting open to have gospel message or some sort of Christian message through a national television and the national radio broadcast, all government owned. And we bought some time from the national Nepali radio, which is secular radio, and still to this day it runs half an hour every week. And they also bore some time in the television later on, and eventually developed into many different ministries. It's under the banner of Message of Hope. It runs Word for Today translation, 24 hours radio, 18 wow. FM stations around the country, television broadcast through national Nepali television that reaches most of the population of Nepal, and a half an hour radio program, AM radio program, that reaches most of the country. All Christian, all gospel, solid gospel messages all around the country.
And a lot of that is due to Graham McLennan and your father meeting at your wedding.
That's right.
So yeah, that all kind of stemmed from that meeting at our wedding, and Graham was so gracious to support BJ's father, Simon, for many, many years on his own. He had other people. There was a few other people helping out, but Graham was very instrumental in that. So yeah, and that all kind of stemmed from the meeting of BJ's dad and Graham at our wedding.
Fantastic. Well, unfortunately, we're running out of time, but we want to get an update on what has happened to the two of you since 2006. I understand your family has grown a bit.
Yeah, so we now have three children, which I just mentioned earlier, are all attending a beautiful Christian school in Wellington that Graham founded. God bless him. And yeah, so BJ works here at the Aboriginal Medical Centre in Wellington, and I'm stay-at-home mum. Loving every minute of it. And I also run a cafe at the school for the mums and the parents. So,
That's great. Yeah. And BJ, how are you liking living in Australia?
Oh, I love it. It's a great country to live in. God has blessed this country so much. Our healthcare system is great, and our facilities around here is so good. There is nothing to complain about this country. We are so richly blessed over here. Plus, we're living in Wellington. I love living in Wellington. It's in central west town in New South Wales. We get really good four weathers, season.
Yep.
And winter is really good, summer is really good, and it's really nice. We love it. Yeah.
We've been very blessed, Eric.
And are you both involved in your local church and any ministries?
Yeah, we are. We go to Double Baptist Church half an hour away from here, but excitingly, some Nepali people who just migrated to Australia, and they are on some visa arrangement in Dubbo, and they are Christians, and they just started a Nepali church there.
Is that right?
Yeah, attend there every Friday evening. They're on fire for the Lord so much, and they put me to shame. Sometimes their worship is so powerful. And they are in passion, so they're praying for more wisdom and more people, and as the church grows and all in number. We're really excited to attend to different churches locally.
Wow, who would have thought a Nepali ministry somewhere in rural New South Wales?
Yeah.
That is correct.
That's amazing.
And you get to be a part of that.
We do.
We're loving it.
And I love the fact that my kids get to go to a Nepali church, even though... We're in rural New South Wales,
so it's very
exciting development that's just come along recently, so we're loving that.
Fantastic. BJ and Tabitha Pandey, thank you so much for sharing your romantic story with us today.
Thank you for having us, Eric.
That was BJ and Tabitha Pandey sharing their story and the story of the Christian radio ministry in Nepal that began largely as a result of BJ's father meeting Graham McLennan at their wedding. I just love how God works through his people to further the kingdom of God. And the great thing is that this radio ministry has now grown to have several other aspects to it. To learn more, the ministry is called Message of Hope Nepal. The website is mohnepal.org. That's mohnepal.org. Well, thanks so much for joining us for this series of programs that all started with Graham McLennan coming from humble beginnings in farm country in New South Wales, and then going on to have an impact on many parts of the world with various ministries. A wonderful example of how God plants seeds, and then those seeds produce fruit, and then they spread in other places, and so on and so forth. A wonderful legacy that Graham and his wife Pam have created, and an excellent story for us to listen to. Thanks so much for joining us right here on Real Faith.
You've been listening to Real Faith, and if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a message through our website, realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au.
This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.